God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. So we do record our messages. Y'all know that. Not too terribly long ago, I got was notified by Rich Ballard, who helps us out, puts the messages up online for us. And he'd got a notification from that we had over 500 messages had been shared. And we interact with 60 to 80 people a month. People all over the country. Well, I don't know about all over the country. As far west as Buffalo, as far west as Texas when Jackie's home. As far west as Arizona, an old Navy buddy of mine, one of the guys who was praying for me when I was a prodigal. What's that?
He lives in Texas.
Oh, right, yep. He sold his house in Mesa, Arizona, and he moved halfway between two kids. So he could visit grandkids both ways. Him and his wife, Barbara. People down in Florida. People in Grand Isle. I want to talk this morning about grace and truth. John, the book of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. Says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared Him. John talks about Jesus being full of grace and truth. Deb and I are in the middle of rewatching The Chosen. And as we're going along and looking and we're seeing those Pharisees, how they're so strict on the law that they have no grace. And Jesus was quoted last night, the actor who plays Jesus reminded him and said, learn what this means, I would have mercy and not sacrifice. The church I grew up in. I grew up in a Pentecostal Holiness church in South Florida many, 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 many years ago. It was really big on following the law. It was really big on you had to do this, you know. And I know as a child growing up, I never learned about the grace of God. As a child growing up, it was anything after an initial confession of sin was, I have an unspoken prayer request. And I never learned about the love of God. I never learned about the grace of God. And that grabbing on to the law, grabbing on to the truth without adding in the grace, we tend to miss out things. That's why the picture on the front of the bulletin says, truth without grace is a prison. Grace without truth is chaos. If we're so strict on, this is what the Word of God says, this is what you got to follow, this is what you got to do, and never learn that we are human beings in a lost and falling world trying to walk out this walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. If we never learn to do that, it's got to be following this strict, rigid set of rules. What happened in my life was when I realized I couldn't follow this strict, rigid set of rules, I walked away. I left the church. And not only did I leave the church, but if I saw anybody else that claimed to be following the things of God, and I knew they weren't, I was the one that was wanted to point out their faults. I was one that wanted to point out their problems. That was me. Praise God, I'm not that person anymore. Praise God for the grace of God. That's not just the truth. The truth is, this is the way, walk in it. But the grace comes in as, let me guide you through it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, each and every one of us. No matter our age, no matter our life history, no matter where we've been, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of that, as we go through this life, we should have the grace in dealing with the people around us of saying, I know what it's like to struggle, but let me tell you about Jesus. God didn't leave me where I was. We sang the song earlier, and it says, here I raise my Ebenezer. Ebenezer is the Hebrew word, actually means this far the Lord has been with me. God has been with me and kept me and brought me through. God has done the same in each and every one of our lives. We talk about grace and truth. We talk about knowing where we came from. Knowing that David says, Paul says, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It says, the good things I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do, and the bad things I don't want to do, I keep doing. Really like the way the King James says, the good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I also do. Like, what? What did he say? He says, I can't seem to make this work in myself. But the grace of God picks me up when I fall. The grace of God sets my feet back on the solid ground. The grace of God compels me and urges me to draw closer to Him. As we go talking about grace and truth, you have to have the truth of knowing what's right and wrong. Paul says, the law was our school teacher. It taught us. And because it taught us, now I understand how I'm falling short. Now I understand where the shortcomings are. Now I understand how much I need the grace of God each and every day. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Paul, talking to the church at Colossae, says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you all as it has also in all the world. It is bringing forth fruit as it also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Paul says, first off, the rebuke to all of us, though he didn't word it as a rebuke to all of us. But as we read it, and Paul says, I heard you were a believer. I heard you were following Jesus. And I started praying for you. Okay? Well, guess what? That sets an example for all of us. Do we drive by a church and say, God, I don't know what's going on in there. I don't know what you're doing there. But I know that you who began the good work are faithful to complete it. I know, Father, there's a body of believers in there. And maybe they're good. Maybe their doctrine is right and maybe it's not. But that doesn't matter. You're the one that changes it. Lord, they claim to believe in you. They made the declaration. Father, I lift them up and ask, Lord, that you would touch them and guide them into all truth and guide them into fruitfulness. I don't do that. Certainly not as much as I need to. Certainly not as much as the conviction on my heart is right now. But sometimes I just drive by and I just drive by. Lord, help me to be faithful in what you've called me to do. Help all of us, Father, to be faithful in what you've called us to do. To walk in that truth with that grace. Luke chapter 7. We're going to pick up way down in the story. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 44. Before we get to verse 44, Jesus is at the house of Simon the Pharisee. He goes in. Now Jesus, remember Jesus got rebuked for eating with publicans and sinners? Jesus gets invited to the house of Simon the Pharisee. He's at a Pharisee's house. And while he's at the Pharisee's house, this woman comes in. Comes up behind him. Drops down. She's crying. Washes her feet, his feet with her tears. Dries his feet with her hair. Puts ointment on them. And the Pharisee said, if this man was a prophet, he'd have known what manner of woman this was and wouldn't have allowed her to touch him. And Jesus says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Say on, master. A certain man who had two debtors, and I don't remember the number, so we're not going to go with that. But one owed a whole bunch and the other one owed just a little bit. And when neither could pay, he forgave them both. Which one will love him the most? And Simon said, the one who forgave the most. He says, you've spoken correctly. Then we pick up verse 44. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water from my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those that sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Just say, no, why do you have this in the middle of grace and truth? Jesus didn't say she hasn't sinned. Jesus said her sins are many, but they're forgiven. Jesus looked at me and said, your sins are many, but they're forgiven. He never discounted them. He paid for them. He never ignored them. He paid for them. Grace and truth acknowledges the shortcomings, acknowledges the sin, acknowledges the failure, acknowledges how much what we deserved. David said, I know my faults and my sins are always before me. David remembered what he'd done. And David was considered a man after God's own heart, even in the midst of the stupid things he did. Even in the midst of the sin, as he repented, as he turned back to God, he was forgiven. Same with all of us. As we repent, as we turn back to God, we are forgiven. So Jesus says here, talking to Simon the Pharisee, says, her sins are many, but they're forgiven. That's the truth, and that's grace. And we need both. We need both in our lives. We need to share both with those people around us. Be willing to speak the truth, but speak it in a way that brings grace. Be willing to speak the truth, but in a way that points them to Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Good advice. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. Oh Lord, help us not to be like that. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they don't know what makes them stumble. All through the Word of God, We are told, we are instructed, we are encouraged to do what's right in God's eyes, not to do what's right in our own eyes, not to do what we think ought to be done. Scripture says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of destruction. Says it again, the same thing. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of destruction. And then there's the other one. It says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. We go about trying to do things our own way, trying to do things from our own understanding. We walk a path that leads us away from the standard of God that God has set. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. When we try doing things our own way rather than doing what God has called us to do, we're not going to make it where we thought we were going. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 1. Paul says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses of sins. Again, we're talking about truth and grace, grace and truth. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We had fallen short. We had walked away from the things of God. We tried doing things in our own understanding. But God drew us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who works now in the sons of disobedience. The same spirit working in the sons of disobedience is the same spirit used to work in us before God got a hold of us. So when we see people that are struggling, when we see people that are walking away from God, when we see people that are doing the things we used to do, our hearts should be broken with compassion, because I have been rescued. You have been rescued. They need to be rescued. Our hearts should be breaking to reach out and to encourage and to draw and to just be lights in the midst of people's lives. Let me tell you about a God who touches and changes lives. I praise God I'm not the person that I used to be. I get such a kick out of it. My cousin down in Florida, I know she listens to these every once in a while. I'm sure she gets tired of hearing hers getting quoted. Debbie and I had gone down to Florida. We were down for my father's memorial. And we got into the county the night before we were checking into the campground. So we stopped at the Walmart to park in the parking lot. And I go in and just to check in at the customer service desk, ask if we could park there where they'd want us to be. And we're in there, and my cousin's standing in line. I don't know if she's getting a new pair of glasses, what she was doing. But she was in line while we're there, and we come up, and we're talking about how I'm a pastor in northern Vermont, and my other brother was a pastor in Tallahassee, there in Florida. And she turns to Debbie, and she's shaking her head, says, you don't understand. When I was growing up, they was the heathen. We were the ones, do not let your kids grow up like them. But God touches and changes lives. My old Navy buddies, when I found out I'm a preacher, like, you are a preacher? Let me tell you about the grace and love and mercy of God that can take me, that can take somebody as messed up as I was, and show His grace, show His love. We are called to be that light in the lives of the people around us. And we've talked back in the prayer about our unsaved loved ones. And we've got people in our lives that will not listen to what we have to say. But there's also people out there that will. Have you found them? Let's go find them. Let's go share the grace and truth of Jesus. Let's go share the grace and truth of the gospel that doesn't discount the sin, that calls it for what it is, but says there is a Redeemer. There is one who loves us. There is one who draws us. I want to skip the rest of this passage in Ephesians. I want to go back down to Colossians, the last passage. We did Colossians 1, 3 through 6 earlier. Now we're going to go down and do 9 through 12. Reminder to all of us. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful to every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." We are called to pray for the people around us. We are called to pray for our brothers and sisters. We are called to ask this for ourselves: "Lord, fill me with all wisdom and spiritual understanding." But also pray that for our brothers and sisters, that the body of Christ be strengthened. We are called to be co-laborers. We were just we're in the Wednesday night Bible study. We're going through, and we're in the book of Matthew. And we just read where Jesus said, "Pray for the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord would send more laborers in the harvest." Pray. Are we doing that? Are we encouraging one another? Are we coming alongside our brothers and sisters? Slight tangent. Not even a rabbit trail, just a slight tangent. I mentioned growing up in a Pentecostal Holiness church in South Florida. When I came back to the Lord after 16 years of not darkening a church door, and I began studying and I began thinking, and I realized that every source I'd ever learned anything from, I learned something from that source that I found out later wasn't true. Whether my parents, whether the teachers, whether the preacher, every source. So it came, I needed to start finding out what the Word of God said for myself. I could no longer go by somebody else's interpretation. I remember my dad's favorite scripture, "Beat your son for a soul salvation." It is not in there in any translation I've looked. Okay? But he would quote it as scripture. People have an understanding of what they think the Word of God says. But I had to find out for myself what the Word of God said. I still have to find out what the Word of God says. We can't rely on other people. Scripture says the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. So we need to seek His face and draw close. So as we go through our lives, as we go through the things we face, know that the Creator of the universe has us engraved in the palm of His hands. Will never leave us nor forsake us. Has our good in mind. Has plans for us to give us a future and a hope. No matter what we face, no matter what we encounter, we are the Lord's. Speaking of the chosen, they were going through the verse where it says, "If I make my bed in heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of the earth, you are there. Wherever we are, God is with us." And because of that, we can have a confidence that no matter what we face, we don't face it alone. No matter what we face, there's no reason to be overwhelmed. And if we do get overwhelmed, and let's face it, we are frail. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. We can hopefully be encouraged by our brothers and sisters around us. Or like David said, "Since there was no one else around me to encourage me, I encouraged myself. God, this is what your word says. I don't understand it. I don't understand what's going on. But I know that you're right here with me. I know that you love me. And I know that if I'm absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord." that whatever comes has to come at me through your hands. And if you've allowed it to come through your hands, then you have a plan and purpose for it. And I've learned to trust you. Grace and truth means we know the facts, but it also means we know who has us no matter what the circumstance looks like. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy toward us. We thank you, Father, for the truth, calling out our sin, stirring in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, that no matter what we face, we don't face it alone. You are ever with us. So, Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.